Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you for your great grace and your great mercy upon us. Help us to be blessed to greatly appreciate it. It's easy for us to say that with our mouths, to even think it in our mind. But sometimes it does not impress our hearts and souls, not only like it ought to, not even as we desire. We know that we do not serve you out of emotions. And yet we know that there are emotions in our service to you. We live in a society that measures their spirituality by their emotions, and we do not want to fall into that fleshly trap. Nor do we want to fall into the ditch on the other side and disregard our communion and fellowship with you altogether. Bless us to keep the proper balance. I pray that you would bless us now as we continue our study of thy darling Son. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come now to another level of our study of the life of Christ. And we want to take up his birth. As we said when we started, most people start with the birth of Christ when they talk about the life of Christ, but we went back into eternity where Christ really began. If it be lawful to say he had a beginning. And as I've said before, I'll say again, a lot of times, or sometimes while I have been studying on this, occasionally I just have to stop and walk away because the concept is just so overwhelming that you just can't take it in. And then the next thing you know, the heart is so hard and calloused, we can't even appreciate it like we wish. But anyway, we want to begin looking at the life of Christ, and we actually are going to look first of all at his prediction, how the life was predicted, because the Bible is not just a book that was in the Old Testament, taken up with the history of Israel and so on. But the Bible from the beginning to the end has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first prediction of Christ, which is called the Protevangelium, we've mentioned that before, is found in Genesis chapter 3. And we want to go back and look at that as he is predicted to come on the scene and to bring about redemption. You know, Adam and Eve had fallen. They had disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord comes to them in the garden and he confronts them. And then he issues a curse upon not only Satan, but on Adam and on Eve themselves. But in the midst of that, as he is speaking to the serpent, I'll begin at verse 14, Genesis 3:14. Verse 15 is our protevangelium. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And you remember in Genesis 15:6, where the Lord said to Abraham regarding his seed, singular. And you remember Paul in the book of Galatians in chapter 3, he emphasized where God said, not unto seeds as of many, but unto thy seed, singular, and thy seed which is, remember, Christ. And here's the seed here. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, that is the seed of the serpent, and her seed, the seed of the woman, that is born of a virgin, as we shall get to it eventually. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. That is, though an obscure, we would say, an obscure prophecy, but it is prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ bruising the head of Satan. You know, when you kill a snake, what do you want to do? You want to crush his head. You want to crush his head. You can cut off parts of a snake, and you can beat around on the snake a lot of ways, and that snake still be alive. But if you want to get him dead, you want to get the head. You want to get the head. And so, said, I will, and the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman shall bruise the heel, shall bruise the head of the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Some even talking about how our Lord, when he was crucified, the spike was driven not only through his hands, but through his heel or through his feet. This is the protevangelium, as it's called. We have a little more glimpse of this in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, when it talks about this coming of the seed of the woman. Jeremiah 31, verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter, talking about Israel? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. A woman shall compass a man. A new thing in the earth. Many scholars believe that this is a glimpse of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Jeremiah 31:22. Jeremiah 31:22. A woman shall compass a man, and this would be a new thing in the earth. A new thing in the earth. What is that new thing? A virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall bear a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, as we shall see when we get to those portions of Scripture. No other woman has ever bore a child being a virgin. Being a virgin. Alright? And then we find in connection with that, you might want to put down Galatians 4:4, where there it reads that in the fullness of when in the fullness of time was come, God. Well, I can't quote it. Yeah, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Born of a woman, made of a woman, born under the law. Now, there are several passages that speak about the coming of the Lord. There are several passages that speak that He would be of the seed of Abraham, as we have already mentioned. Let's look at a couple of those. First of all, in Genesis 12, we've already mentioned Genesis 15:6. So I won't direct your attention to that again. But in Genesis chapter 12, he says in verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee," that he says, "I'll bless those that bless Abraham. I will curse him that curseth thee, and then in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." All the world, all the families of the earth, all of the different tribes and nations of the earth would be blessed in Abraham. How was that possible? By the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ and God saves people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. But that was a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Genesis 22, this is where the Lord God, where Abraham offered up Isaac. And then after Abraham had offered Isaac, or attempted, or was intending to offer Isaac as he was commanded, and God stopped him and told him about the ram that was to be put in the place. And then in verse 15, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." All the earth shall be blessed in this seed of Abraham. Now, there's a lot that the Lord has not told us. Think about this. Remember I mentioned Abraham this morning about all the different times that it speaks about the Lord visited him. But out of all the entire lifetime of Abraham, there's a lot of gaps that we don't know about. There's a lot of gaps we don't know about. God tells Abraham, and this happened many years ago, you know, about 2,500 or so years ago. That's a long time. That was a long time before Christ came on the scene. And God tells Abraham, out of you, out of your loins, is going to come a seed that shall bless the nations. And Abraham did not live to see that. Isaac didn't live to see that. Jacob didn't live to see that. David didn't live to see that. Isaiah didn't live to see that. And yet it was true. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was of the seed of Abraham. And yet, somehow, Abraham knew that the fulfillment of that prophecy was going to be after he died. How do we know that? Let's look at Hebrews. We've pointed this out many times before. It would be good to remind us of it. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. The only expectation of God's promise to Abraham had to come to pass in Isaac. So here we find it in Hebrews 11, verse 17, when Abraham offered up Isaac, he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. Or raise him up. Even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. How did Abraham receive Isaac in a figure from the dead? Abraham and Sarah both stated when the Lord came to them in Mamre, and even before then, they were too old to have children. Sarah's womb was dead. But God restored her. God restored Abraham. So much so that after Sarah died, Abraham had 7 other boys. He may have had some girls. You know, the scripture doesn't always give the lineage of the women, of the girls. So he knew that the promise could be in a resurrection. And you remember that Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. You're talking about foresight, that's 2,500 years of foresight. That's a long time. That's longer than this nation has been around. Quite a bit longer. You see, God doesn't operate on our time schedule, but it's on His. But He had prophesied that in the seed of Abraham, he would be brought forth. Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4 talks about this coming one. Notice what we find there. Verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. The branch of the Lord. Notice Zechariah speaking about this branch of the Lord. We've got a seed. Now we have a branch. Not necessarily a big tree, but we get somewhat of this prophecy of our Lord. Zechariah. Chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Here's the branch mentioned again. Chapter 6 of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man, whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Notice, we've had, first of all, the seed of the woman. In Genesis, we've got the seed of Abraham in Genesis. Now we're talking about the branch. And now, not only the branch in chapter 3 of Zechariah, now the branch, behold the man whose name is the branch. So we get an idea here that this seed, this branch, there's going to be a man. The Messiah. This is the one that Israel continued to look forward to. Again, back in Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah, chapter 23. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Notice we not only have a man, this man is going to be also of the lineage of David. This branch that's going to grow up. This king. And then notice what it says in verse 6. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. We're learning quite a bit about this seed of the woman. We're learning quite a bit about this branch. This branch that is a man. This branch that is of the lineage of David, not only of Abraham, but of David, this branch that is going to be our righteousness. Can you imagine people studying the Scriptures for all these years and looking forward to the Messiah, our righteousness, our branch? And then in Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11, and there shall come forth a, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. A rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Look in look in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 concerning this, our Lord, after he has come on the scene. Verse 23, And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, I want you to listen. Commenting on this verse, we've been trying to set the stage. Commenting on this verse, John Gill had this to say. This affair of going into Galilee and settling at Nazareth was brought about with this view to accomplish that which had been foretold by the prophets and designs the prophet Isaiah with respect and respects that prophecy of his in Isaiah 11:1. That's the last one we read in the Old Testament, that a branch shall come forth out of Jesse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Accordingly, the Hebrew could be a branch shall grow out of his roots. Still reading Gill. A prophecy owned by the Jews themselves to belong to the Messiah, which was now fulfilled in Jesus, who, as he was descended from Jesse's family, so by dwelling at Nazareth, he would appear to be and would be called, quote, a Nazarene or Netzer, N-E-T-Z-E-R, a Netzer, the branch. Being an inhabitant of Nazareth or Netzer, so called from the multitude of plants and trees that grew there. Now, though Christ was not born, yet because he dwelt at Nazareth and was educated there, hence the Jews frequently called him, and it has the Hebrew name here, the Hebrew wording, Jesus the Nazarene. And sometimes only the Nazarene. They also designed him, or designated and stated him, as being Ben Netzer. That's Ben Netzer. You remember that Ben, what is that in Hebrew? Son of. Son of. So he was the son of Netzer, of whom they say a great many evil things. That is, the Jews said that about Ben Netzer or Christ. And that Christ is often called Jesus of Nazareth or the Nazarene, and his followers Nazarenes from the place of his habitation is known to everyone. One of Christ's disciples is called Netzer in the Talmud, and made to plead for his life because his name signified a branch, according to Isaiah 11:1. So I brought all of that together to show that this prophecy that is in Matthew 2:23 is from Isaiah 11:1. And he was of the lineage of David, as we saw in some of those other prophecies, and as we have seen in our text from Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, remember what our Lord said? Verse 42, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? You see, it's not just any Jesus. There are many ball players named Jesus. Jesus. But it's this one that is the seed of the woman in the garden. The seed of Abraham. The branch. The seed of David. This is the reason many of our prayers, when we talk about praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, praying to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It has to be this Son, this one, that is to be born. It is this one that we come to see. But not only that, back in Isaiah, and we've hinted at it in some of the other passages, but back in Isaiah chapter 7, we get more specific about this son. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That's a new thing. A virgin shall conceive. Mary was not immaculately conceived. The Lord Jesus Christ was immaculately conceived of the Virgin Mary. Mary was a sinner. We'll see that later on and when we get closer to the birth. It is this Jesus that is born of a virgin. It is not just a Jesus. It is this Jesus that was born of a virgin. And again in chapter 9, we're skipping a lot of verses. But in Genesis chapter, excuse me, Isaiah chapter 9, I'm sorry. Isaiah 9. In verse 6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Actually, I like to remove the comma between Wonderful and Counselor, because I think, according to the flow, remember that the punctuation was put in by, sometimes by translators, and then other times, sometimes it's put in by the printers of the Bibles. But mostly this one put in by the translators. But I think the flow of it goes, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But I wouldn't argue with anybody either way. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is the one that is prophesied of. This is the one that we are to be looking forward to when his birth does come to be. And though we will look at some of these verses again later, let's look at them now. Matthew chapter 1. In studying some of this, I just kindly, it's just hard to leave some of these out. Matthew chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Immaculately conceived. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, and we read that just now a few minutes ago, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is the Jesus we present to you. This one that came from God. This one, as we shall see, sent from God. He knew where he came from. He knew who his father was. He knew why he came to this earth. This is not some blasphemous Jesus Christ superstar. This is not the damnable heresies of another Jesus. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Look at Luke chapter 1. Like I say, we'll come back to some of these verses again as we get into the prophecies being fulfilled. We're just looking at them, at the prophecies and the fulfillment of them. In Luke 1, verse 26, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, beloved, while we do not worship Mary, and she needed a Savior just like we do, she was highly favored, and she is greatly blessed among women. She's the only woman that ever held Emmanuel in her womb. That's astounding. That's astounding. Verse 29, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Not surprised that she wondered what was going on. What in the world is this? Who am I? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." See, if she was immaculately conceived, she didn't need favor. But anyway, we'll get on with that. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Ah, the Messiah. Notice these prophecies that we've looked at already. The branch, the king, a branch of a seed of David, a branch of David, a root out of a dry ground, a root out of Jesse. Verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How can I have a child? I haven't been with any man. Yes, I'm engaged. I am betrothed to Joseph. By the way, they didn't sleep together, did they? They didn't live together like this filthy generation. She was a virgin. She was a virgin. There was a time when it was an honor for women to maintain their purity until the marriage bed. Several years ago, an old dear sister down in Ripley, Mississippi, her name was Sadie Beavers. Brother Wallace got her to give a testimony one time for some young people. And she stood up and she told the only man that she had ever kissed was her husband. And the first time she ever kissed him was the night before they were to be married the next day. She said, "My husband, all the days we've lived, has never wondered about who all's been kissing around on me." Wonderful testimony. A wonderful testimony. That stuck with me for a long time. Well, I guess has it still stuck with me. We don't have testimonies like that today, hardly. There are a few. Oh, that God would send a revival. But she says, "How shall this be? I know not a man." Yes, a son was given. A son was given. The prophecy of the very place it would be given. Micah, the book of Micah. Very, very small book as far as the size of books. But oh, what profundity. Particularly in Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been from of old, from everlasting." Micah 5:2. This one that is to be born, this one that is to be born in this little bitty town of Bethlehem. There were two Bethlehems in Israel, by the way. But this is Bethlehem Ephratah. This is the one down south of Jerusalem. This one that shall be born never had a beginning. This is our Jesus. This is our Savior. He's from everlasting. He's from everlasting. And you remember when the wise men had come from the east and they came to Jerusalem and they were looking for this king. And the only place they knew to go at that time, because the star brought them to Jerusalem and they stayed there, and so they went to the king. And they inquired about the king. Of course, they went to a different king that they were inquiring about. And they said, "We've seen his star in the east." And so Herod called in the wise men. We'll get to this later on when we get to the birth more in particular. But he called the wise men in and said, "Where's this child? Where's this one to be born?" They said, "In Bethlehem." They knew their Bible. There it was, Micah 5:2. They quote it. Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 2 for just a moment. We'll look at it again later on, but it doesn't hurt to look at it twice. Get it down in our minds. Matthew 2:1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Where should the Messiah, where is he going to be born? "And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written of the prophets, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Pretty specific, is it not? The Jesus that we worship was born in Jerusalem. Prophesied that he would be born in Jerusalem. Hundreds of years ahead of time. Hundreds of years ahead of time. You remember when Micah lived? Micah and Isaiah, whom we read, they lived around 759. Well, around 758, Isaiah around 758, 59 to 721 or 69. Or 698 B.C. Some 700 years ahead of time. Some 700 years ahead of time. And Zechariah was some 500 years ahead of time. 500 to 700 years ahead of time, they prophesy of this one that is to be born with pinpoint accuracy. Tell me God's not in control? Tell me God doesn't know what's going on? Tell me God doesn't know the future? Damnable heresies that say otherwise. Born in Bethlehem. Now, I do not know, and it's very likely doubtful, that the spot was shown to me in 1972 is where Jesus was born. But the city is the same. I've been where our Lord was born. A historical place. That doesn't make me anything. A lot of other people have been there. A lot of people that hate Christ have been there. People that hate Christ live there. But my point is, now it's been 2,000 years later. But 700 years before it happened, it was prophesied. That's where he's going to be born. And yet he had no beginning. Whose going forth was from everlasting. Beloved, we have a great Savior. We have a great Savior. It was prophesied. Prophesied. There are many, many, many other passages too numerous for us to consider at this time. But I have given you, and some of you may still have it at your seats or you may have it at home. But here's this sheet that has 44 prophecies of Jesus Christ, where they were prophesied in the Old Testament and where they were fulfilled in the New Testament. I didn't put a date on when I printed this out, but it'd take a long time just to go through all of those, wouldn't it? That'd be something to preach through sometime, wouldn't it? This is overwhelming. Our Lord was prophesied of where He would be born, that He would be born, that He would be of the lineage. He would be of the lineage. He would be of the kingly lineage. Matthew chapter 1. Of the King of the Jews. Notice how Matthew 1 starts. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Ahiab, and Ahiab begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Elihud, and Elihud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matan, and Matan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the carrying away to Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Tell me that genealogy is not important. If he doesn't have this genealogy, he's not the Christ. The King of the Jews. This was Joseph's lineage. But you know there's another lineage of Christ. Go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 3. We have the King of the Jews. But in Luke 3, we have the Son of Man. We have the Son of Man. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all of these names again. I kind of got on a roll on the other one. But in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matat, and so on. And it goes all the way back down to verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. In Matthew, we have the King, beginning with Abraham, coming through David, down to Joseph. In Luke, we have the Son of Man. The lineage goes all the way back to Adam. Both go through David. But in Matthew, the lineage goes through David's son, Solomon. In Luke, the lineage goes through David's son, Nathan. So you have, if you want to study the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, Christ, the King of the kingdom, you study Matthew. You want to study the Son of Man, the lineage of David through Nathan, you study Luke. But it shows, both lineages, shows the lineage of Jesus' heritage right to the throne of David. The hereditary throne through the lineage of Mary goes through Nathan back to David. The legal heir of the kingly lineage to David's throne is through Joseph, from Joseph back to Solomon. Our King closes up the gap on both sides. He has the proper lineage, born in the proper place. And next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we will begin to look more in particular at the conception and the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. My Father, I thank You that You make it quite clear. And we only, as You well know, we only looked at a smidgen of passages, but enough to clarify distinctly this Jesus whom we worship, this Jesus whom we serve, this eternal, everlasting Son of God, whose going forth has been of old, this Son of Man, this branch from David, this branch from Abraham, this one who not only walked in the garden, but was prophesied in the garden. Thank you, our God, for giving the clarity of this Jesus whom we serve, and this Jesus whom we love, this Jesus whom we know, this Jesus in whom we believe, this Jesus in whom all our hope, all our righteousness, and all that we ever hope to be is found. And it is in His name, this Jesus, that we pray. Amen.